But what it really meant to the world and what it really meant to the time and what it really meant in our, it means in our lives, because that's the most important thing right now. I mean, really, the most important thing is my life to everybody. Not yours, mine. That's the most important thing. Right? No. Okay, fine. Matthew 16 puts it this way, finishes the story. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. And it goes on in Luke, it says this: in their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the man said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day raised again." We're all about art and music and art at L19. We're about videos and theater and poetry and that moves me and my family. It's part of who we are. So this video that we're going to show you sort of capsulizes in an incredibly artistic way what exactly the Easter message is about. Go ahead.
What do you like about Easter?
Celebrate with your family.
Easter hunting for eggs.
You get to open them and there's stuff in there.
Money and grass.
Lots of candy.
What does the Easter bunny do?
He hides the eggs.
He's a person that's dressed up in costume.
Who is Jesus?
Jesus is like a person of God. He is God's son.
What does Jesus look like?
Long brown hair and a brown beard.
And he's got like a robe on.
Yeah, there's no, like what a crowd of people wear something.
Disciples.
12 chosen followers of Jesus.
Simon Peter, Andrew, James, John, Philip, Thomas, Matthew, James, and Matthew, Thaddeus, Simon, Judas, Bartholomew.
They're the good guys.
What did Jesus teach?
How to pray and that God's real. To always love one another when it's hard.
Teaching them about Christmas and Valentine's Day.
What kinds of miracles did Jesus do?
He turned water into wine.
He made 5 loaves and 2 fishes, spread
all
over the whole
world.
He helped people stay sick.
He walked on water.
There was a storm and it was on windy and he said, "Jesus, Jesus." And then he calmed it down so they won't be scared.
What would be a really cool miracle for him to do?
For me to be a superhero like Batman.
What can I
fix the government?
Fix the government.
Eat the Last Supper.
Bread and like some dipping sauce.
Can I get some french fries?
And there's the juice. Some vegetables with chocolate on it.
Why did some people not like Jesus?
That everybody was calling him Jesus.
They didn't believe that he was God's son.
They thought he would only hang out with the people who had done no sin, but he helped the sinners because they're the ones who need help.
What did those people do to Jesus?
They were sort of trying to capture him. We didn't
put a crown of thorns on his head
and made him carry the cross a long way.
Put him on the cross and stabbed him.
They hurt his heart.
He died on Good Friday. And then
they saw Jesus.
Very afraid that he was a ghost. They saw the scars. They touched him. Jesus! Jesus is alive! Alive!
They are so happy.
How do we follow Jesus?
Confess our sins.
And ask him into our heart by praying.
And then he's like in our heart.
Why did Jesus do all of this?
It was all for us because he loves us.
He said, I don't want them to be scared of me. Whenever they're hurt, I want to help them.
We love you, Jesus.
They heard it in his heart. I love the little kid with the cold. They put him in a tube with a big heavy rock on it. So basically, I want to show you that and say, okay, I'm done. Thank you. Have a great day. That's basically the story. That's basically the story of why Jesus, what Jesus did, why he did it. He came to heal the sick. He came not for the Christians, the religious people. He came for the ones who were wondering, who were questioning it, who really were trying to figure out their lives by themselves. He got creative. He was a real artist in the sense that he was creating art by using his disciples and therefore us. Here at L19, whenever we talk about the disciples, who are we talking about? What does the Bible talk about when they really talk about the disciples? They are talking about them for that time, but also us. We are his disciples if we believe in him. So those are the things. I said we're like a music and arts church, and so one of the things what we're really going to talk about is art. God's artistry. How he sent his son to minister to each person here and there and heal the sick and to change and renew lives that were either ordinary or really bad or diseased. He was going to do an artistic thing. He was going to change lives. He did change lives. He's still changing my life. He's changing your lives each and every day. He's the great artist. The interesting thing about art is it reflects the artist. Okay, let me say that again. The art reflects the artist. Can you dig what I'm saying there? Can you dig it? Yeah. It's the role of the art to reflect the artist. He lays his heart on the line. He pours himself into something, either painting or sculpture or a book or writing or a song or a poem. He pours himself into it to have something uniquely new and eloquent and maybe beautiful. Remember the thing about art, it doesn't always have to be beautiful. There's a lot of tremendous great art that I think sucks. Did I say that out loud? Yes. I think is really bad. People always have taste. But the artist still pours his life and his soul and his gift and his talent and his time and his treasure into his art. And when art really works, what does it do? It reflects the artist. God really worked. And his art started with creation, obviously. A man back then, one of his finest art pieces, masterpieces, handiwork, was his son Jesus. And he constantly reflected back to the Father. Every word he said was reflecting back to the artist. That's what our mission statement at L19 is all about, to praise and cheer for Jesus. Praise and cheer for the artist. Why? Because we're the art. He's pouring into us daily. So we're his artwork. Okay, definition of art. Anybody? You got a good definition of art? Art? Not Arthur. Art. I know, it's kind of tricky. I had to look it up. Something that is created with imagination and skill, and that is beautiful, or that expresses important ideas or feelings. That's pretty good. I mean, I spent 13 years in New York City, so there's some great, great, great art that's really ugly. I'll guarantee you. Have you ever heard of a guy named Francis Bacon? He was a very, very crazy Irish, famous Irish painter. Big triptych paintings. He was brilliant, raving alcoholic, gay, sick, died early. Brilliant art. I didn't think much of it, but he was considered a brilliant artist. The art reflects the artist. The art was really hard to look at. Colorful, but it had strange, it had troubled images. The art reflect the artist. Okay, art, works created by artists. Art being that type thing. Paintings, sculptures, etc., that are created to be beautiful or to express important ideas or feelings. Remember, beautiful or important to express important ideas or feelings. Throughout history, there's been great artists. Leonardo da Vinci, right? He was a painter, a great painter. He sculpted a little, but he was also a designer. He did some amazing things. I mean, he painted pictures that you know you've seen before, even if you don't know the bank of his work. You know, at times, during his period of time, in the, I think, 1500s, I think it was, 1400s, 1500s, Leonardo da Vinci, there were a lot of people painting. It was a big thing. It was like pop stars today. Rappers, you know, they were all over, dime a dozen, painters in that time and day. Leonardo da Vinci stood above the rest. Now, why is that? He was pouring his heart and soul into something, and it touched the world. It was beautiful and had an important idea going. That's why we still know his work. Maybe you don't know who he was, but you've heard of the Last Supper. Maybe you've heard of this little ditty that he did, the Mona Lisa. The art reflects the artist. How creative he was. Michelangelo was a sculptor and a painter. You know, okay, he was a real raving guy, but brilliant man. We know, we've heard his name. But what is the art? The art, well, he was a sculptor. That famous naked sculpture statue of David. Okay, he was naked. The Pietà, Jesus dead in his mother's arms, out of stone. He painted the Sistine Chapel. Oh, my goodness. Up on the ceiling, this ceiling of unbelievable fresco. This artwork, we know of this artwork. Do we know of the other artists around his time? Not really. The art reflects the artists. Ah, that's Michelangelo. We know Michelangelo, sure. To be or not to be? That is the question. How many of you have heard that before? Once or twice? Raise your hand if you've ever heard that before. Good. So we may not know that that's from a play from Old England. That's from Hamlet. I said Macbeth. Jane had to correct me. It's from Hamlet. But we know, probably most of the people in here know it, who wrote it. William Shakespeare. The art reflects the artist. We know that. Oh, to be or not to be. Isn't that Shakespeare? Probably know that. The pen. When you hear bum, 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 bum. You may not know that that's one of the symphonies that this guy in Germany wrote. You may not know it. You know, it's a big, big, huge orchestra piece. You may not know it's the fifth symphony, but you may know, especially musicians, people who are into music, they may know that that's Beethoven. The art reflects the artist. Now, don't feel like, well, I don't know any of these. I don't know what he's talking about. It's okay. People that are in the art, in studying it, and are gleaning something from it, are growing from that art, they know that particular artist. Last night I said these words to my girl. Boom, boom, boom. You may not know that that's what the name of that song is, but maybe 9 times out of 10, all you need is love. All you need is love. I got to have the horn part right in there. Okay, but you know who those songs reflect and who wrote those songs. The Beatles. Everybody knows the Beatles. Everybody knows the Beatles, as Ed Sullivan would say. And the art reflects the artist. Now, when you hear I don't know the words. Who is that? You don't know, right? Bruce Springsteen, Bruce! You may not even know the song is Born to Run. I think it would embarrass Katie beyond belief. I knew it would. But you know, when you hear, if you hear that sax and those low guitars, guess what? You know where we're going. You hear the name Born to Run. Who do you know did that art? Bruce Springsteen. The art reflects the artist. So where are we going with this? Well, I'm going back to Jesus, obviously. Because here at L19, we're all about Jesus. And here we are celebrating his death and resurrection. Sorry about this. We need a logo. There we go. His death and resurrection, a special day, a very creative time. Whoever thought that somebody would do this? That God would actually have a plan and work his plan, work his way with his son and all these people and align all these people involved from Pharaoh to the Pharisees thousands of years later to all these strange connections and all these strange people that would bring about one of the most creative things that ever happened to the world. Jesus coming out of the grave. Being killed, completely perfect and sinless. That was big enough. You can say the miraculous birth was important, and that's true. If he wasn't born, he couldn't have done what he did he? Somebody else would have had to have done it. But here he is, this creative person walking through his life, and in the last 3 years of his life starts doing these unbelievably creative artistic things, changing water into wine. I love that. I love that. That was great. I'd love to be able to do that to a water cooler. Boom. Changing water into wine. He's doing all these creative things, healing people that nobody ever even touched, much less cared about. Creating. What is he creating? What is the art that he's doing? He's creating. He's just doing stuff. Making broad statements, very hugely beautiful statements like, I am the fruit, I am the vine. Well, the way to look at it, Jesus, if you ever wonder what's going on with him, the way to look at him is very simple. He was either, he really was God on earth, God as man, Emmanuel, God with us, or he was one of the craziest people on the planet at the time. There's no middle ground, is there? I am God. I came from God. I heal. I am going back to God. I will, you know, all these things. I will be raised from the dead. I will die after 3 days of raised from the dead. He's completely insane. Or he really is this. Whew. That's a story that's pretty doggone creative, wouldn't you say? That's pretty out there. An important idea or feeling. Jesus, one thing he never did, he never put brush to canvas. He never painted. And yet his image is one of the most painted images of all time. Nobody knows what he looks like. Of course, you always have that to think, well, he looks like he's a tall Italian European with a long, just striking nose, very handsome. And of course, no, he was a Middle Eastern, apparently ruddy-looking, sort of dark-skinned Israelite. But there are more pictures of him painted from people's imagination. The inspiration for their art was the ultimate artist, Jesus. He never put pen to paper to write things, but there are not very many more eloquent words that have ever been spoken or quoted than by Jesus. Come unto me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Blessed art thou. Blessed art thou. You hear them quoted a million times. He never wrote them down, but boy, do they move our culture, the Lord's Prayer. Words of Jesus have artistic value. They're beautiful, but they also express important ideas or feelings. Always have. He's an artist. I don't look bad. Okay. He never wrote a song. Can you believe that? Just think the song that the Son of God would be able to write. That'd be cool, you know? Wouldn't you want to hear that? He never wrote a song, but there is more music in this world, stimulated or particularly absolutely about Jesus Christ, than any other subject on the planet. That's crazy. And there's a lot of people out there that think Jesus never existed. He wasn't what he said. It's all just a ruse. Man, that's hard to believe. That's hard to believe. Not Jesus lived and died and rose from the dead. That's easy to believe, quite frankly. What's hard to believe is that after all these thousands of years, there are people that still don't believe he really was who he said he was. Was that incredible creative energy. Hymns, carols, worship songs, all these things. Symphonies. Do you know who've heard of Johann Sebastian Bach? Johann Bach, you know, the writer back in the 1600s. He was very famous at the time, hugely talented. You still hear all kinds of people still play Bach. For training, cello, piano, all kinds of things. It's like exercises. You play Bach partitas. You play Bach cello suites if you're learning to play the instrument. You know, and every piece Bach wrote, he said, for the grace of God on it. Wow. That's nuts to me. That's crazy. He's moved by what? The artist. Everything that's meant that he's wrapped up into, he's creating. He's saying, it's not just me, it's the artist. It's for the grace of God. Reflecting the artist. So over like two centuries, here, millions and millions of people have been created anew, have something made new and redeemed and something, wow, something unique by this man who we're celebrating dying and raising from the dead today. This is the scripture that really everybody reads on Easter, the story, and rightfully so, the Matthew story that I wrote, and the Luke story, and the John story about going to the tomb and raising from the dead. But for me, this particular scripture, spoken by St. Paul in a letter to the Ephesians, put it this way: "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do good things He planned for us long ago." We are God's masterpiece. Some translations say we are His workmanship. We are His special art piece. You and me are His work of art. A picture of you, Judy, are on God's refrigerator. Right up there, next to the Elvis magnet. We're his creation. Not just the Adams, but remade anew by this event we're celebrating. Raising out of the tomb, raising from the dead, here it is, changed everything. Everybody has an opportunity to become a brand new person, a brand new work of art, something that is beautiful and is an important idea for the future. Here at L19, we're all about that. We love God. We're moved by God. We worship Him. We share our love for Him through worship and prayer and reading the Bible and community together. And we share His love for people. That's our mission statement. That's what we're all about. Just loving God and loving people. Just an attitude of the heart and an action of the hand. It's not that creative, and yet it is. God said, do that. He says again and again. The great commandment. Jesus Himself said this: love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and all your strength. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it: love your neighbor as yourself. At the time He said that, that was a whole new idea. That was a whole new piece of art. It was all about me, 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 me at the time. Kind of reminds you of today, doesn't it? A lot of our culture is all about me, 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 me. And we're going to talk more and more about that starting next week. We're going to get into a series called The Blessed Life. And it's really going to be cool. You'll want to not miss that. What it means to be blessed. What blessed actually means. So anyway, Jesus was creating art by showing us how to love others. Do you understand what that means? He was actually creating something unique and beautiful by showing you how to love others. Truly how to love people out in our world that are unlovable. Scripture tells us all the time that, guess what? To love people that you love, that are really lovable and cute and handsome, that's easy. It's the people that you really don't like and are really unlovable. Those are the hard ones, and Jesus specifically came for those. That's the art. That's the uniqueness of it. That's like, if we change our hearts from where we were to that, we are reflecting the artist. And we're His art piece. We are God's masterpiece. He was creating art by showing us how to love and creating a community of artists that go out and love people. You follow me? If you're a Jesus believer, if you have any contact with this Jesus guy, you are His piece of art. And your piece of art is all about loving others. And He gives us that power. He gives us that ability to love the unlovable. Man, it's hard. But it's great to live in that artwork, to sort of be in that Last Supper, sitting at the table with him. But we're breathing and we're living, and we've got the opportunity to love others. So artwork always reveals the artists. It's the role of the art. It's the role of the artist to be true to who he is. And that is who Jesus always was. And that is my story. And I'm sticking with it. Amen. Could you close your eyes for a minute? Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your moment in time that just moves us. Just moves us to just reach out for you. And to just bask in your creativity and your love. We thank you for this, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.